Welcome to Guts Church On Demand. And now, let's go on demand with Pastor Bill Shear.
Give the Lord a hand, will you? That's a little better. That's a little better right there. I'll tell you, we are finishing strong in 2012. Write that down. Make it first person. I'm finishing strong in 2012. Man, go ahead. And let me tell you, here's what I want to do. I want tonight's going to be a part of where we are right now as a church, which is vision casting and vision renting and making sure that we understand that vision is just a picture of a preferred future. You know, God gave me a vision, a picture of a preferred future back in 1979. And you know what? It was a church in the middle of the woods in a barn with a bunch of people. And I think some of them kind of looked like you guys. Now that I think about it, Chucky, you were there in my vision. No, it was. It was this. Hey, what's up, Cholo? Like guy that was, and he had so much cool. I'm thinking, man, what? You know what? It was almost like too good to be true. And now I look at Chucky, and it's not too good to be true. It's absolutely true. That's what God wants to do for you in your life. Okay. A picture of a preferred future. You know, in the beginning of 2012, all of us kind of are wired that we're like, okay, it's a new year, I'm gonna join the gym. Okay, it's a new year, I'm gonna lose 25 pounds. It's a new year, I'm gonna save. It's a new year, I'm gonna tithe. It's a new year, I'm gonna give. It's a new year, it's a new year, I'm gonna fix my house up. It's a new year, I'm gonna get a new truck. It's a new year. We call those resolutions, right? How many guys are familiar with resolutions? And how many guys know that that's what we do at the beginning of the year? Well, now we are. Here we are at the end of a year. And we've got less than a month left, and we're at the end of a year. And we've got all these resolutions that happened 11 months ago. And I want to know, like, what were your 2012 resolutions, New Year's resolutions? And how many of those did you realize? How many of those are present in your life right now? How many of those are things that you can say, you know what? I lost those 25 pounds. I saved $25,000. I said whatever it was. Man, I paid off that credit card bill. I got ahead on my mortgage. I mean, whatever it was. How many of you guys made resolutions? How many of you guys set goals for the year and you attained those goals? Can I see your hands? That's awesome. Do you understand that? How many of you guys have some that it's like, yeah, I forgot? Or, you know, it's crazy when you hear the people that join gyms in January. But then by the, I think it's mid-February, it's like in the mid-90s% of people that join gyms, and I don't think gym people are telling you that, okay? I don't think when they sign you up, they say, okay, now we're gonna help you. I tell you, you're gonna have a six-pack. I'm telling you, it's gonna be amazing. You're gonna meet fun people. You're gonna be able to learn how to skip rope. You're gonna be able to lift that bar with that weight on it. And they're telling you that, but when February 15th comes, You're going to clean your locker out because you're not going to use it anymore for the rest of the year. They're not telling you that. But you know what? There's these resolutions. And you know, there's a deal like right now. How many guys are ready for a new year and a fresh start in your life for 2013? It's a month away. It's less than a month away. And here we are in this place where it's like, I think that it's kind of like marriage. So many people plan their weddings and plan their honeymoons and do so little planning their marriage. The Bible says this, and I want you to write this down because this is a life principle that I believe is very poorly communicated, especially at times in people's lives that they ought to hear this. But the Bible says that you build your barn before you build your house. You build your barn before you build your house. And you might think, well, wait a second, what are you talking about? Let me help you. A revenue stream is vital. You have to have a plan. There has to be a strategy. It's not just, well, we're just going to live off of love. We're going to live off of love and mostly lust. Because my gosh, I mean, so many people are so ill-equipped for marriage, and you go into it, you're thinking, oh, wait a second. And then, you know what? A month or 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, or if you're lucky, a year into it, you're thinking, this isn't all it's cracked up to be in. How do people do this? Man, I'll tell you, I didn't realize that his breath would be, he's lazy. He's skipping work and going to the bingo parlor. I mean, it's all this stuff, and it's because there's not a plan. And you know, it just hit me. How many of you guys brought your Bibles? And turn your Bibles to Colossians. You guys that are in here that you're thinking, man, I need a new house, you better check your barn first. Man, you got to build that barn. You got to think, you know, and for some of you, especially young people, I've got personal convictions about the stages of life once you become a young adult. In your 20s, it's that informational time, that educational time, that time where it's like, okay, I've got the basics done. You know, you go through school, you go through junior high and high school, you get through 2 years of college, you get your basics done, you've got an associate's degree, or you've got 2 years of college, and now you're gonna work on the stuff to bring you a degree, a bachelor's degree, and you're working on that stuff. When you're about 20, you begin working on that, and then through the 20s, you're getting information, and you're working, and then you're 30s, you got that information, and you're being developed, man. You're developing what you learned in your 20s, and you're developing, and then you're in your 40s. That's it, when you're in that time where it's like, okay, I can start producing some wealth. I've got enough value that I've been informed with and educated with and developed in me, and now I can start. And your 40s and your 50s, that's when you could really be in your wealth producing. Unless you didn't, if you thought, well, I'm going to start, especially the people, you know, the whole computer age with, you know, I don't even have to leave the house, and I can buy and sell stuff, and the dot-com industry and everything that happened, it's like, oh my gosh, if they could do it, I could do it, and there isn't that education, there's not the information, there's no development, you're not building that barn, but you're building your house, and you're expecting a new house, and I'm going to sell this house, and I'm going to buy another house, And I'm gonna roll the debt from this car into the next car, and you know what? At someday you hit a wall, and see, you have to look at your life, and there's so many things that we make resolution toward, but don't have that staying power in it, don't have that commitment that it's like, you know what, man, I'm paying off that debt this year in Jesus' name. And see, that's how our lives have to be. You know why, boys and girls, we're Christians. You know why? We're the church. We're the people the world needs to look to for help. And we've got to wake up. We've got to understand that there's a picture of a preferred future that we can offer to people. And you know what? They can hear about it, and they can hear about it, but they've got to see it in us. They've got to see the, you know, the success principles that, my gosh, you can't lead a church without having them at the tip of your tongue and just rolling out of your mouth. You can't have them, but you got to have them by memory, or you can't lead a church anymore, because that's the expectation. Well, guess what? People have to see it in people's lives. Man, when you're going through the valley, when the things happen in your life where it's like, oh my gosh, I'm really hoping this stuff works, because this has got to work out for me. Man, the people in the world have to, the guys you're working next to, man, the people you live around, man, they see you, man, you're going through a difficult time, you're going through a hard time, you know what you're going to do? Man, you're going to see it through, you're not going to stop. See, in the resolution part of our lives, we're coming up on a new year. A new year for our marriage, a new year for our kids, a new year for our lives. You know, the Bible says that before you go, you start on something new, finish what you've already started. Write that down. Man, before you bite off another bite, man, let's make sure you've chewed up and swallowed the bite you already took. You know, because just like with food, going through the buffet line, man, our eyes are bigger than our stomachs. And see, there's three parts of this, and you know, I'm gonna get into this in Wednesday nights in January, but there's three things that we're really gonna look at. One is capacity. Our capacity for life, our capacity for work, our capacity for church. Number two is margins. Have you built margins into your life? Do you have margins? Are you living on the edge? Are you living month to month and paycheck to paycheck? And let me just tell you, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, right? So this isn't for to have any kind of condemnation at all. But if you're living month to month, you've got to check yourself, because you have to build margins in your life so that if that storm does come, if those tires need to be replaced, if that dishwasher, if that wash machine, it's never convenient. Man, Sandy and I bought a washer and dryer, and we'd had it for about 4.5 years, and man, it just stopped working. It's like, that's crazy. We just got this like last month. And then Sandy checked our records and she said, no, it's been 4.5 years ago. Well, thankfully it had a 5-year warranty. And here's what's interesting. They sent a repairman out to our house. The guy fixed it. He opened up this amazing piece of equipment. And you know what? It had a few wires and a few sensors and some connections and a drum and a motor on that drum and nothing else. There wasn't anything space age about it, which is what I was expecting. But you know what the guy said? I said, you know, we just got this. It's only 4.5 years old. He said, yeah, they build these things to last 5 years. I said, you know, it would have been nice if they'd have told me that when I bought it. He said, no, that's why they give you a 5-year warranty, because these things don't last more than 5 years usually. I said, well, what else in my house? He's like, oh, your refrigerator, how old is it? I'm not telling you. You know what I'm saying? Man, I got a new truck. It's an 07. Feels new though. It's 5 years old though. But I'm like, when did you get that truck? I just got it, man. It's still shiny. It's 5 years old. It's got 110,000 miles. Yeah, but it feels new. I don't know what happened. And see, that's what happens in life. See, in life, what God gives us, and I believe that's what's great about our calendar year is every year we get to kind of inspect ourselves and examine ourselves and where we are. Are you in faith? Are you in faith about your marriage? Are you in faith about your finances? Are you in faith about your health? Man, see, because, you know, so much of life is preemptive. So much of life, you know what we can do? Man, we can prepare and build some margins in our life. And then when we get those margins, it's like, well, wait a second. You know what we got to do? Man, we've got to live moderately. The Bible says this, let your moderation be known by all men. Because especially in America today, but all over the world, people aren't living moderately. They aren't building margins into their lives. Man, there's all this pressure on people in their 20s to start be entrepreneurial and start businesses and do things. And you know what? They don't have the education and the information to be able to do it yet. Man, build that barn. Man, make sure it's got sure footing. Make sure the foundation. Make sure that no matter what kind of storm comes, that barn's going to be able to handle that storm. But the way things are right now, the Bible says that, but the way things are right now, very few people are concerned about their barn. Everybody's putting all their attention in their house. And you know what? Yeah, that house is where the people, that's where you live. That's what you take. But let me just tell you, you build your barn before you build your house. That's going to require capacity. It's going to require margin. If you've got capacity and you built margins, you're going to have leverage. And leverage is huge. Do you know what sickness does to you? It leverages you against God's purpose in your life. Do you know what cancer does? Do you know what debt does? Debt leverages you. It's so hard. You know what strife in your home does? It leverages you against being able to fulfill God's purpose in your life. Man, God's got a purpose in your life, and we're thinking, okay, I'm going to go do the will of God. And then there's people that I've heard that it's just so goofy. They'll say, well, if God called me to ministry, he'll take care of my children. Man, please don't be that kind of person. Build the capacity and the margins in your life that you can raise your kids. And you know what? Them loving God, which I've learned now, being 55 years old, I've had an epiphany. My kids serving God is a big deal. We could build all this stuff, but let me just tell you, man, I know one of the most famous Christians and famous preachers, ministers who has ever walked this earth said, I've done all this for all these people and I've lost my own son. Nick. And capacity, margin, leverage. Don't let the enemy leverage you. You know what's amazing? How many of you guys in here have sinned? How many guys in here in your life have sinned? God doesn't hold it against you. He doesn't impute it against you. He doesn't count it. You know why? He doesn't want that sin leveraging you. But you know what? Let's flip that over. The backmasking part of this, you play that song backwards. And the devil wants to use the things you've done in your life that didn't honor God to leverage you, hold you down, hold you back. You're an addict. You're an adulterer. Man, you're filthy. Man, you think about bad things. You look at things you shouldn't ought to look at. You know what Jesus said? You who are without sin, cast the first stone. You know what he said to the woman then? Hey, go and sin no more. She's like, wait a minute. Kind of feels like to me you're giving me a pass. No, I'm not just giving you a pass. Pretty soon here, your sin's going to be remitted. The stuff that you did that the devil's trying to leverage, that the world's trying to leverage you, they're not going to have anything on you anymore. So you know what? Go and sin no more. Get on a good path. I'll tell you, I know all of you are getting ready to make resolutions. In Colossians, is that where I ask you to turn? Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above. Keep your mind stayed upon the things above. Stay in a mental place. Keep your thought on the things above, not on things on the earth. See, and you know it's interesting because there's a lot of resolutions that you guys are going to make, and that you have made. A lot of those resolutions are not fulfilled because you never ask why. And you know what? For most of us, the losing the weight or getting in shape or saving money or paying off that debt, man, the why is never examined. The why is never looked at. So you know what? Not only is the why not big enough for it to matter to you, it's not existent. Man, it's amazing. I've heard studies. There's studies that people that have had open heart surgeries, people that have had heart transplants, that don't change how they eat or live. It's like you know what it did? It just prolonged the agony. It just buys you a little bit of time. Well, see, that's not what this new year is designed to do for us. It's not what God's given us. You know what God's given us? Man, God's given us new things and new life and newness of life. And man, no inhibitors and man, no governors on us. Man, nothing that's going to hold us back. No limits in life. Man, keep your mind on the things above, not on the things beneath, not on the earthly things. Man, ask yourself why. Why? Because You know what? And you know what I promise you? How many guys love God? Anybody in here love God? Just really do love God. Don't mind raising your hand and say, man, I love God. Turn to somebody, raise your hand, look at him, go, I love God. It's like that. Just say, hey, I'm a God dadgum lover. Go ahead and tell him. Well, you know what? You know what's going to happen when you ask yourself why enough? It's going to end up honoring God and glorifying God because that's who you are. That's what's in you. Trust me on this. A few simple points. We got to keep our mind stayed on the things above. So I've got five simple little stays for you, okay? Number one, you got to stay faithful. You know how we stay faithful? We stay faithful by keeping God's word in front of our face. You don't have God's word in front of your face? You'll be looking at something else. You're going to honor what you look at. You give honor. You look at his word. You keep his word in front of you. You meditate on it day and night. You keep it in the midst of your heart. How many guys were in the word today? How many guys were in the word where it mattered to you today? See, man, how many guys are in the word? You're like, okay. Now, and then not only were you in the word, but then you thought about it throughout the day. Man, you let it percolate in you. You let it develop you on the inside. How many guys were that? Okay, see, all of that factors in to life mattering. All that factors in to what's happening in your barn and what's happening in your house. So number one, you've got to stay faithful. You have to keep the word in front of you. Man, get the word on the audio part of the word and put it in your truck. And you know what? You don't have to listen to it all day long. Listen to it for 10 or 15 minutes. Man, listen to it for a half an hour. Man, listen to it and then think about it and meditate on it. See, I think that's where, like now, because our attention spans are so short, and man, we got to keep these church services to a certain length, and we got and our TV shows, and man, we got all this stuff. We don't have to look at the commercials anymore. We can just whip right through them. Because we've got our DVR shows. But you know something? Let me tell you, don't do that with God's word. Man, read his word and then think about it and speak it. Man, get used to hearing yourself speak his word. Man, you might be in a situation where somebody's got three breaths left and the word that you read that morning is poignant to the situation that they're in. But if that's the first time you've done it, it might be hard for you to remember. You're like, hey, I was in the word today, and it applies exactly where you're at. Here, just hold your breath. Don't take those last two breaths yet, because I got to think for a minute and organize my thoughts. No, you know what? Man, we've got to be instant in season and out of season. Man, we got to be ready. We got to have our switch on go. That's how it works. How many guys want opportunity? You got to have your switch on go. Man, you can't be sitting idle. Number one, you got to stay faithful. Number two, you got to stay connected. You get by yourself, you start pondering things on your own, you're gonna get goofy. I have seen smarter people than you get goofy because they get isolated. You gotta stay connected. Man, there's people counting on you. You know that? Derek, there's people who count on you. Man, there's people who count on Jeff and Skytook. There's people who count on Sarah and Skytook. They're counting on her to stay connected. Man, are you connected? You know what? And see, and the bottom line is that then now you don't have just a huddle group. Man, you've got a mass of humanity that are going through life with you. Man, taking new ground. You stay connected, you're going to take new ground. Write that down. Man, stay faithful and stay connected and stay focused. Man, so many people fall away from church and fall away from the Lord because they lose their focus. Man, let me just tell you, all the demands that I feel like come into my life and come on me, and you know what I've got to do? I got to remind myself, I've got two jobs here. Number one, I have to bring a life-giving, life-changing message to this church for the services. I know that's my job. Number two, I just have to lead the staff. I don't have to do their jobs for them. I don't have to hover over them. I don't have to find the wrench that they misplaced. I have to lead the staff. And you know what? I've got to stay in focus to be able to do that. I get out of focus. I start losing my focus. Guess what happens? I start getting disconnected. Guess what? I lose my faithfulness. See how this works? You got to stay faithful. You got to stay connected. You got to stay focused. You got to stay directed. Now listen, who's directing you? I make sure I build direction into my life. I make sure there's countless times where I'll go to Pastor Sandy, I'll go to one of the elders, I'll go to business people, I'll go to people in the church, and I'll say, hey, here's what I'm thinking. And you know what? They'll go, well, man, it's your call. I know that. I know it's my call. You know what? I just want to stay directed. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. I can stay directed if I could stay in a safe place. See? So you got to stay faithful. You got to stay connected. You got to stay focused. You got to stay directed. And the next one is, you got to stay on top. And you're like, I want to be on top. Well, are you faithful? Have you been faithful? See, and here's something, an analogy that I want to make for you. Missing church. It's like there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Right, Barb? No condemnation. Okay? No condemnation. How many guys have ever missed church? Can I see your hands? Okay. This shoe's fixing to fit. I've reached the right target audience. Again, how many guys have missed church? Can I see your hands? Okay. Don't have to feel bad about it. But it's just like a ball game. I used to coach high school football. Kid would come over. Get a dead arm. Guys, how many guys have ever had that? You take a hit and your arm goes like this. I can't play. Look at my arm. I'm done. I can't even ride anymore. I'll never even play the violin anymore. I'm like, hey, okay, relax. And the trainer goes and talks to him and sees him. A couple minutes later, he comes. It's like, what happened? I'm good. Okay, there's a difference between, listen to me, being hurt and being injured. Listen to me. Your feelings get hurt. This is gonna be a tough one, okay? This is gonna be really hard for you to take. Your pride gets hurt. I know you'd never miss church because your pride got hurt. And you know what's funny is doing this long, and ask Pastor Sandy. Man, ask Brian, ask Eric. You know, there's people that'll come and they'll say, hey, yeah, I haven't been there for, I remember where you been? I haven't seen you. I've been for a while, but I'm getting over it. I'm gonna be back in there. You're getting over what? Their feelings got hurt, their pride got hurt, their ego got damaged. And you know what I think those are just tests that God uses just to see where we are. Man, my feelings get hurt. I can't count how many times my pride has gotten hurt. Man, there's a high percentage of people that come in here want me to be one of the boys. I'm another guy here. You're nothing. Just because you got that mic, I have to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I'm called, and you do too. We can't walk around like we're just one of the boys. I'm just one of the fellas. This is a club. Man, yeah, how many of you guys know the secret handshake? How many of you guys are current on your dues? See, we don't have secret handshakes. We don't have dues. You know what we have? We have God's promise. Man, let's look at the list again. Stay faithful. Stay connected. Stay focused. Stay directed. And you do that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to stay on top. All right? So here's your takeaways today. Are you ready? The first takeaway is, man, you want to build your capacity. Man, that's what I want 2013 to be in your life. A year where your capacity can be expanded. Your capacity can be enlarged. That's what I'm looking for. Man, a bigger, better, stronger capacity for life. Man, capacity for the things of God. Man, capacity for resources and finances and equipment, material goods. Man, a capacity for that. Man, but then, you know what? Where you have built some margins into your life. Man, you look at the things that you're going to buy, the Christmas presents that you're going to buy. Man, you know what? You know, I mean, a simple little rule of thumb. You get those Christmas presents paid off by the end of January or you don't buy them. Otherwise, then you know what? February, March, April, you're going to be thinking, man, I wish I could give more. I wish I could help. Because there's going to be things come up that we're going to have an opportunity to give toward that are going to make a big difference in people's lives. Do you understand? There are still meals in Haiti that they have in storage that they're feeding brand new people now. Let me just tell you, the food that we sent to Haiti 6 months ago, 4 months ago, the end of July, they have been able to double the amount of people, the amount of children that they feed now every single day. Listen, hold it. We took one offering. And you know what happened? Instead of 1,000 kids a day getting fed, more than 2,000 kids a day get fed. But you know what? There had to be so many people in there going, well, man, I wish I had something to give toward that. Man, pay that Christmas off by the end of January, by the middle of January. Man, pay cash as much as you can. Man, let your moderation be known of all men. Man, have a plan going in. And don't be running. Are there any more Black Days and Black Thursdays and Fridays and Black Thanksgiving? We don't have Black Fridays, it's Black Thanksgiving. It's like, dear God, I sat there and gorged myself in pie because so many sales started. Everyone left and we're doing, and there was no one there to say, Bill, stop eating. Oh, yeah, I got a belly and you guys think you can laugh. Okay, I get it. Man, but you know what that capacity and that margin gives you? No, and I'm there with Scott, my friend Scott, who ought to say, hey, Bill, come on, buddy. No, Scott's a, hey, you're done with that piece? You want another piece of pie? Hey, have you tried this pecan pie? Because they don't all taste the same. You know that, don't you? You got to try them all. He was like a pusher. It's like a pie dealer. I tried to leave. He's out on the street corner. Handed me a baggie of pie. You want some crack? No, you got some pie? Man, we gotta stay faithful, right? Stay faithful. Man, you get hurt. Oh, yeah, I'm hurt, but I gotta stay faithful. Oh, my, that hurt my feelings. Oh, I got to stay faithful. Just a test on my faithfulness, all it is. God, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. That pastor just overlooked it. Man, I got to stay connected. I'm so tired of having to deal with most of you guys right here, I'll tell you. That was an awkward little handy moment I had. But you know what? You just got to stay connected. Because you know what I found? People come around. They really do. People have growth spurts. And I want to be there for that. Man, we got to stay focused. Don't get out of focus. God's called me to preach dynamic messages that inspire and inform people and help point people to the promise of God and his word. Man, I'm not... Here's what God's word says. Man, this is what I do. Man, I trust by whose stripes you were healed. That's what I trust. Man, that's what God's called me to do, to lead the staff. Man, help them, make sure that they've got the opportunity and the resource and the equipment to be able to do their jobs, be able to, man, perform at a high level, because that's what you deserve. Man, to stay directed. Man, am I honoring you, God? And then to stay on top. And I'm telling you, that's what I'm believing God for you to stay on top. And I'm telling you, have a life where you're on top, have a year where you're on top, that 2013 is a year that, man, you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the greater is he who's in you, man, where you look at your life and, man, you fear not, and you're strong and you're courageous, and that, man, it's a year of that. How many guys are in on that? Man, but you know what that's going to require? That's going to require you to be hooked up for 52 Sundays and 52 Wednesdays and the outreaches that we do. And man, that's the whole idea. You're like, well, I heard that message before. I know, but if you sit there and take notes, that guy that's sitting behind you that has never heard that before is going to think, this is noteworthy. I better pay attention to it. That was unplanned, but I got to burn my saddle about that. What's he preaching on? I've heard that before. Doggone it, it's not about me. That's what you got. Write that down. It is not about moi. It's not about that man I look at in the mirror. Man, you know what? Man, I start taking notes in here and I start paying attention and I'm not fidgeting. Everybody in here is going to have to do it when I say this. But do you know what I heard? I heard that there's a lot of times it's psychosomatic. People cough when there's public speaking going on, especially in a church, and it's the same as heckling. Now go ahead. I know you got to clear your throat and cough right now. I got to tickle now. I don't want to heckle, but you're good. But to understand that the devil's going to just try to mess with you and then the people around you. So stay hooked up and let's stay on top.
You've been listening to Guts Church On Demand with Pastor Bill Scheer. Thank you very much for joining us today. And feel free to check out the website at gutschurch.com.